Blog Talk Radio. jubilant to hear from you. And we have two numbers here on our monitors that I will present unto you on tonight. 646-200-3074. 646-200-3074. And the next number is 877-598-8654. 877-598-8654. We welcome your calls and we welcome your comments into our studio. And we just thank you once again, as I first stated, for staying up late and tuning in to the Old Ship of Zion on tonight. And God is going to bless you real, real good. And we're going to go into prayer. We had implemented prayer at the beginning of our program. And so I always would like to ask my digital listening audience and you that are out there in our listening digital land to bow your heads with me, if you will, as we reference God in prayer on tonight. Father God, we come with grateful hearts of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for assembling us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Coming together as pilgrims through this barren land, we're asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know you in the pardons of their sins. Grace me, your servant, Lord, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that hearts are hurting deep within their very souls on tonight. Lord, I would be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' matchless name, we pray. And we shall say amen and amen. All right. I will be with you tonight, 1 hour. And we are coming to you in our second week. This is July the 9th, 2013. And our theme on tonight is Mary, a woman of faith. And this is the mother of Jesus. This is to you, those of you that may or may not know who Mary is. Now, it's another Mary, too. But I'm not talking about that Mary. I'm talking about the Mary that bore Jesus. That's the Mary that I'm talking about. And we're going to take a up-close and personal look at the woman Mary. For we know that Mary was a woman of great faith. And we know that the Virgin Mary, as I first stated, is one of the most prominent figures we know in the Bible. And her life was characterized by faith, humanity, and obedience to the will of God. And Mary also holds a unique place in human history as the only woman to ever conceive a child supernatural. Now, isn't that something? We know that she's the only woman, in natural speaking and spiritually speaking, in modern history, to do such an act, is to conceive a child supernatural. And we know that this young woman is almost as well known today as the divine child she bore. That she is loved and admired by millions of people all over this universe. And we find out that Mary was a descendant of King David. You that may not know the heritage of Mary. I will kind of go through that on tonight. We're just going to take our time. I'm not going to get into a hurry, but I'm just going to kind of come as God will give me direction. And so, as we know that Mary was a descendant of King David, Mary, scholar, contends that her genealogy in Luke, we find out the law of Luke 3 and 23 through 37 is Mary's, and the one that's in Matthew 1 and 1 through 16 is Joseph. So it is clear, therefore, that Jesus was a descendant of David and rightful heir in his throne. Now, when the Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus being of the seed of David, in the law of Romans 1 and 3, and 2 Timothy 2 and 8, hallelujah, we find out that he's more likely referring to the linkage of Mary. So we know that Mary lived in a village called Nazareth. The Bible says it's located in the southern plains of the Lower Galilee. And she was betrothed to Joseph. We find out that Joseph was a faithful and God-fearing man who also was from Nazareth. In the law of Matthew 1 and 18. At that time, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and announced that she was going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. This child would be called the Son of God, and he would be given the throne of his father, David. We find out that in the law of Luke 1 and 26 through 33. Now, we find out that Mary, being a virgin, questioned Gabriel, the angel, as to how this would all take place. She was told that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and bring about the conception supernaturally, assuring her that nothing was impossible with God. Gabriel also revealed to her that Elizabeth, her older relative, was also pregnant. Then Mary, in an astonishing display of faith, affirmed her servanthood to the Lord and humbly submitted to his will. We read that in the law of Luke 1 and 34 through 38. Now, the Bible tells us that immediately Mary went to visit Elizabeth, the future mother of John the Baptist. As soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the baby inside her womb leaped for joy. Hallelujah. Elizabeth praised the God of Israel because it was supernaturally revealed to her that Mary was carrying no ordinary child. Do you hear me? Mary was carrying no ordinary child. I'm talking to you, my listeners, out there in digital land on tonight. Mary was a favorite one chosen to bear God's one and only son. That's in the law of Luke 1 and 39 through 45. Hallelujah. And we know that Mary obeyed God. She was obedient to God. Hallelujah. We know that you and I would actually we would actually dominate that same type of faith. And that's what we're going to have, is that same type of faith. Now, and Mary, we know that Mary, as the first believer in the New Testament, we find out that Mary was a woman of great faith. And we recognize that in her same basic attitude of belief, which we are striving for, as I foresee. So we feel a certain kinship with her. And we know that Mary, as far as what the Hebrew would say, holds true. That only our faith can guarantee the blessings that we hope for, or prove the existence of the reality that at present remains unseen. Now we know that Mary, in her pilgrimage of faith, pointing out that she stands out among the poor and the humble of the Lord, who confidently awaits and receives salvation from him. Now here the council is taking up a tradition of the early biblical age, where Mary's faith is given more emphasis than of her divine maternity. Now, we know that the Virgin Mary believed that in her faith she conceived. And we know that when the angel Gabriel came unto Mary and told her that she would first conceive him, she would conceive him first in her heart before conceiving him in her womb. Then we also find out, hallelujah, that in the New Testament itself, it gives substantial information on the life of Mary. And it talks about her words and deeds as a believer. Now, Mary is praised because of her faith. And the Bible tells us that blessed is she who believes. That's in the law of Luke 1 and 45. Hallelujah. Now, as Jesus was speaking, a woman in the crowd raised a voice and said, "Happy the womb that bore you and the breast you sucked." But he replied, "Still, happy those who hear the word of God and keep it." That's found in the law of Luke 11 and 27 through 28. Now, to understand this text, we have to remember that in the Old Testament, one blesses or curses a person by blessing or cursing that person's parents. Hallelujah. Now, we know that at first, the response of Christ may sound like an insult to his mother. In fact, it is a far more profound praise of her than the woman in the crowd had given. Now, Christ reinforced and deepens the tribute to his mother. Do not bless her because of something physical, but rather because she has heard the word of God and has kept it and lived for it. Who heard and kept the word of God more than Mary? We find out that in Luke again, we found a similar text. Now, his mother and his brother came looking for him one day, but they could not get to him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and brother are standing outside and want to see you." But he said in an answer, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." That's coming from the law of Luke 8 and 19 through 27. Now we know that no one heard the word of God more than Mary. But Mary opened herself completely to it. No one put into practice more than sheep. Through her it became flesh. Now the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelled among us. So we know that Mary practiced it more than anyone, because it became in a tongue of her. Through it became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus had warned, take care how you hear. Now Mary is the perfect example of how to hear. And I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let what you have said be done to me. That's found in the law of Luke 1 and 38. This is Mary's way of hearing, through which the Word became God with us. We find the third example in the Gospel of John 2 and 4 through 5. The mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said, woman, why turn to me? My hour has not come yet. His mother said to the servant, do what he tells you. Hallelujah. At first glance, there seems something rather puzzling about the subsequence of events at Cana. Mary, recognizing a need of her friends, came to Jesus, fully confident of his ability to help. Yet Jesus seemed almost to repulse her. My hour has not come yet, says the Lord. But immediately Christ gave to the embarrassed host jars brimming over with splendid wine, proving thereby that in spite of his word, his hour had indeed come. Was it that made the difference and drew forward the hour? We find the answer in Mary's simple admonition. Do whatever he tells you. Hallelujah. Here was a heart and a will entirely open to God, as it had been at Nazareth. When she was ready to accept all, hallelujah, she had pondered in her heart the meaning of her son and had come to recognize him, hallelujah, to accept him as God's word spoken to man. It is when God finds such openness and such receptivity that he can truly be God. And he can bring his kingdom among men and show the first of his signs. And we find out that at Cana, Mary showed us the way of faith. For to recognize the word of God in Christ and to live by it in the New Testament is what constitutes faith. Now we find out that Mary's response to the message of the Annunciation was a simple surrendering of herself, wholly to a life of faith. At that moment, she gave herself completely to the word of God, a word which she had not yet fully grasped, but on which she was prepared to base her life. And this attitude of faith demanded of Mary is biblical in the highest sense. of the word. Hallelujah. We found out that not only had she to assent to an absolute reality, a kind of a first principle, but as people do when they say, I believe that there must be something at the origin of the universe. And that is faith. This is faith, of course, but it is rather meager. And we find out that what is demanded of Mary is much more. Nor had she merely to accept as true a specific doctrine, believing on the cognitive level. Further, what is asked of her is more than mere commitment to a sacred ritual. We find out that certain laws is to be observed from this time on. Essentially, what is demanded is an acknowledgement that God is present and active here now. And she must give a personal cooperation with this divine activity. Faith does become personal, realistic, committing Mary believes that God has called her, and she surrendered herself to that call. And she followed him into the unknown. And she did not yet know where the word of God would lead her. But she was prepared to put her whole life at stake. And we recognize here the same picture as that of Abraham. A call of God. No guarantee, only a promise. But that is enough to cause Abraham to leave his tribe and his country and to go forth into an unknown country. We are here touching the very core of faith. To believe in a person of God who called me and leads me. In her act of faith, we find out that Mary placed at God's disposal not just her mind and heart, but her body as well. And we know that this kind of faith was to shape in a more intimate way her whole life as a human being, as a woman for her. Faith was not something abstract, something merely interior. It was essential, all embracing, all in compassion, everything that life might offer. We find out that Mary had been educated in the Old Testament, in a sense. We can say that she was both its summary and its summit. At the same time, she is the beginning of the new. She had been reared in that religious tradition in which God seemed far away, aloof in his infinite majesty. The very term Kabod signifying the crucian majestic of God. And we find it to be a typical key word used to describe the God of Israel. When Moses approached the burning bush, God called to him, come no nearer. Take off your shoes, for the place on which you stand is a holy ground. I am the God of your father. Hallelujah. We read in the law of Exodus 3 and 5 through 6. Later, when the time for the covenant had come, the people had to prepare themselves for 2 days. Then at dawn break on the third day, there were peals of thunder on the mountain and lightning flashing, a dense cloud, and a loud trumpet blast. And inside the camp, all the people tremble. We read in the Law of Exodus 19 and 16. From the onward, the luminous cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night were the signs of God's presence until the temple was built. And as Yahweh's dwelling place, the most magnificent, most impressive edifice the Jews had known. And this majestic of God was so tremendous that no human being could survive seeing God. Even Moses, who asked to see the face of God, was denied this privilege. God told him, "You cannot see my face, for man cannot see me and live." This is in the Law of Exodus 33 and 20. Hallelujah. And so we know that we find out that Mary, hallelujah, had been reared in this reverence for the awesome, majestic of God. In this reverence for the awesome majesty, her parents and teachers had imbued her with a deep respect for the unfathomable greatness of God and his infinite distance above our lowly human condition. Eagerly she had drunk in this sacred instruction. And yet it is with Mary that the New Testament began. From now on, Mary is a believer. And God is no longer infinitely remote in his tremendous majestic and majesty. But he is very close in his human helplessness. And it is in the person of Mary that this change come about. Think of the utter transformation of faith demanded when God becomes man. The very structure of faith is intrinsically altered. Zealous herself in the Old Testament way of belief, Mary had to help this little baby in all those things which a mother does for a child. And we know that at times in today's society, one meets people who complain that there are so many changes in the church. So many certainties have vanished. This always makes me smile. But I think about Mary and the changes that she had experienced, yet she did not complain, but quietly and graciously she made the transition. The Jews had expected a Messiah born of man and adopted by God. And actually, God sent a Messiah born of God. Hallelujah. And became man. And Mary was the first to absorb this turning upside down of the Jewish faith tradition. And we find out that this whole universe is too small, hallelujah, for God. The Old Testament has stressed this. Yet God was contained in the little infant of Bethlehem. And in the man, Jesus, this is emphasized by the New Testament. In Mary, these two apparently contradictory, inconsistent meet. And her faith was deep enough to encompass them both. We find out that it may well be that the faith of the New Testament is more difficult than the faith of the Old. A God who is close to us in his incarnation put our faith more to the test than a God who is far away in transcendent majesty. It is human element more than divine, which we find difficult to accept. We know that in the church, as the body of Christ, the incarnation is prolonged. In its own way and on its own level, we encounter there again a human, sometimes an all too human, reality, which at the same time constitutes God's presence among us. And it may be that the fertility of the human elements obscured at times the very real presence of the divine. At such time, it is well to remember Mary, the first of the new faith, the first to recognize and to accept the divine in the human. From the moment of the Annunciation, Mary began an unknown future. Like Abraham, she set out not knowing where she was going, having nothing to hold on to, hallelujah, but the word of God. At some time or other, we have all experienced a human tendency to sketch out definite lines of faith so that we may know explicitly that where we are going, but faith eludes such certainty. It means that we cannot grasp, we cannot cling to anything. There is always setting out to be accomplished. We must always leave something behind and not look back. If we refuse to keep moving, if we insist upon holding something tangible, we narrow down our faith, and that means unbelief. It was this narrowing down of faith which caused the death of Christ. Hallelujah. On Calvary, he died because he had not corresponded to the picture of the Messiah which the Pharisees had cherished. The scribes had claimed to know what the Messiah would be like. But when the Son of God came, hallelujah, to the world, they killed him because they persisted in their own expectations rather than accept the reality of God made man. We know that true faith is always open, always ready to grow. Hallelujah. There is no eternal city for us in this life. We read in the law of Hebrews 13 and 14. Mary advanced from one surprise to another. Everything in her life seemed different, contrary to what she had expected or even imagined. And all the circumstances of her life demanded of her a response of faith. Of this scripture gives many examples. The angel said to Mary, "You are to conceive and bear a son. And you must name him Jesus." Hallelujah. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will have no end. We read that in the law of Luke 1 and 32 through 33. But when the hour of his birth arrived, she had nowhere to place him but in a manger. The time came for her to have her baby, and she gave birth to a son. Her firstborn, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We read this in the law of Luke 2 and 7. The shepherds have things to say which are a joy for Mary's heart. And when Mary saw the child, they repeated what they had been told about him. Everyone who heard it was astonished. And they was astounded at what the shepherd had to say. As for Mary, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. We read this in the law of Luke 2 and 18 to 19. Hallelujah. And so Simon blessed the child, father and mother, and said to Mary, his mother, "You see this child, he is destined for the fall and for the rising of many in Israel, destined to be a sign that is rejected, and a sword would pierce your own soul too, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare." We read this in the law of Luke 2 and 33 through 37. And when after 3 days of anxious search, Mary and Joseph found their son in the temple, they were overcome when they saw him. We read that in the law of Luke 2 and 48. But the very moment in which they found him became the moment in which they lost him forever. For immediately Jesus told his parents that his real home is with his father. "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And the echo of their groaning pain is heard in Luke comments. They did not understand what he meant. We find this in the law of Luke 2 and 50. Time and again, Mary had to say farewell to her son between himself and his mother. We may be inclined to smooth away these instances, yet they reveal much more surely the greatness of Mary than do all the pious exaggeration of a mindless devotion. From them we see how her son was always beyond her. She could not really understand, let alone grasp him. Always he was greater than she had thought. Yet accepting her inability to understand fully, she consented to his self-concept. Having pondered his mystery in her heart, she followed him where he led, and thus let her life be shaped by him. Ever at the disposal of God's word, Mary was truly a woman of faith. Even eventually, all of this will bring her to Calvary. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. More than anyone else, she shared the death of her son. This separation by death is part of the divine mystery of Jesus. We find out that in the final implication of her, that all the angels had left unexplained. All that Mary had to find out in a lifetime when she leaves Calvary. Hallelujah. She is thoroughly lonely woman, but still a woman of faith. Hallelujah. Holy Mary, who kept the faith on Holy Saturday, pray for us. It was this faith, hallelujah, which made her lonely. Hallelujah. We find out that when Jesus died, the death of a criminal, even his best friend, his most faithful followers, abandoned all hope. there was no longer any one of them who believed in him. Mary alone kept faith between the death and the resurrection. Once again, the comparison between Mary and Abraham becomes striking as a given point in time. Both were the only believers in the whole world. Can you imagine Mary and Abraham, the only believers in the whole world? And the Bible tells us that after the appearance of the risen Lord and his ascension, Mary joined the disciples in prayer in the upper room. All these joined in continuous prayer together with several women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. We read in the law of Acts 1 and 14, this is the last of the more than 40 times Mary is mentioned in Scripture. Describe her in an attitude typical of her, inspiring with their faith and a prayer, the community of the early church. She continues to do what she has always done, to be open to the word of God. Become flushed through her at the end of her life when she has faithfully accomplished everything that had been implemented in her. She is more than surprised by the God in whom she has believed. A lifetime of faith has created in her immense receptivity. And all this is filled now to the brim when God lets her share the glory of her risen Son. As she has been the first in many other instances, she is now the first to obtain the last goal, filled in body, mind, and soul by the life of the resurrection. She is assumed into the heavens where her faith is raised to total vision. Hallelujah. In ending, I hope and pray that I've said something to inspire and impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God as God go in you. Bye for now.
Come on, put your hand together like that.
There's anybody here that loves the Lord like I do? Why don't you stand up? Anybody here that loves the Lord like I do? Why don't you stand up? Christian, now jump and say, I stand for His righteousness. Get up, y'all. Whoa, whoa.
the next time you're in church or wherever you may be, or even in this center right here, say, be a bold Christian for the Lord. Say, when you feel the Spirit, say, don't hesitate to praise the Lord. Now, y'all repeat after me and say this here.
Get on up. Get on up.
I can't hear you.
Bless me.